Now we're talking about the Bally Nine. Does the Bally Nine mean anything to you? Some of them will be executed a little later today. They're serious drugs dealers. These are people who are involved at the sharp end of drugs dealing, taking heroin from one country to another. I know that you'll be thinking, yes, the bane of the lives of society, indeed, the heroin smugglers. But apparently these guys, some from Australia, one from France, one from Brazil, are reformed characters. And they've been in jail for a considerable amount of time, and they had been hoping they would get a reprieve. The Indonesian president is saying no, and they will be sentenced to death by firing squad in a number of hours from now. I want to speak to Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Patrick, two ways of looking at it. When you paint a picture of drugs dealers who deal in death worldwide, you have very little sympathy for drugs dealers per se. Well, you probably have no sympathy for drugs dealers. When you look at it in the round and see where these guys are now in terms of their mindset and behaviour pattern in prison and how they're spending their times in terms of devotion to prayer and art, I think one of them is an exceptionally good artist, and they clearly believe that what they did was wrong in the past. It's strange to think that they're going to be coldly executed on an island today.
Well, yes, I mean, our opposition to the death penalty isn't based on whether or not an individual criminal or wrongdoer subsequently, you know, is rehabilitated or turns to God or turns to art or anything else. Our opposition to the death penalty is based on the fact that it is a resort to state-sanctioned killing, that it is violent, that it is cruel and human, and it's stooping to the level of murderers. And we've talked about this before. Essentially, it's premeditated killing, but rather than it being committed by a murderer whom we then seek to hold to account, it's actually the state of the land, it's the government of the land carrying out these executions. So in the case of the Bally Nine, as you say, these individuals, as much as we know about the case, these individuals were involved in a heavy-duty drug smuggling ring. I think they've been found guilty of attempting to smuggle one consignment over 8 kilograms of heroin. I think they were seeking to take it from Bali to Australia, where obviously it would have a huge street value. So these individuals are criminals. They deserve to feel the force of the law. They deserve to spend time in jail and feel the displeasure of society. What they do not deserve, what no one deserves, is to face execution, whether that be by firing squad, which is what these individuals now face in Indonesia in the next 24 hours, or by any other methodology, whether that be beheading in Saudi Arabia or lethal injection in the US or any of the other methodologies used around the world.
There is sympathy for these individuals today, whereas had they been facing the firing squad a month after they'd been arrested in Indonesia with that amount of heroin going off to destroy other lives, there wouldn't have been the sympathy for them. But there's genuine sympathy for them at this moment in time, because so much time has gone past, and I say again, they seem to be reformed characters. Now, I understand where you're coming from with regards to the death penalty should never be considered and should never be acceptable, but drugs dealers do have a price to pay for what they do. You will say, yes, that could be anything up to life imprisonment, but there's no sympathy for drugs dealers when they're caught, but there's significant sympathy for these individuals at this moment in time as the clock continues to count towards their assassination.
It does. I mean, I think that this set of executions that are now going to happen have certainly soured relations between Indonesia and the various countries where those who are going to be killed come from. There's certainly been a diplomatic falling out between Indonesia and Australia. There's been huge outpouring of opposition from Australians. Australians, and not just feel sympathy for, I think they're two compatriots, but actually Australians have a principled stand against the death penalty as well, and they feel that it's cruel and inhuman that anyone of any nationality, reformed or not, should be facing this sort of end to their life. And I think, I mean, as you say, there's a picture painted now of these particular individuals. I think of the Australians, as you say, one has turned to Christianity, one is a very talented artist, as it has turned out. So I suppose that simply helps to flesh those individuals out as human beings, fellow human beings, rather than caricature criminals. They are criminals. They deserve to feel legal sanction. But for us, the line must be drawn between imprisonment and that sort of acceptable sanction and the taking of life, the execution by death penalty, which is what these individuals feel. So I think that Indonesia is now sort of reversing its trend. It was somewhat decreasing its use of the death penalty. We've already seen half a dozen people killed this year. We're looking at another nine in the next number of hours. And Indonesia is moving against that global trend. We've discussed this before, how most countries in the world have now abolished the death penalty. I was just looking at this last night. When Amnesty International started campaigning against the death penalty over 30 years ago, there were only, I think it was 16 countries in the world were abolitionist. Today, it's 140 countries in the world have abolished the death penalty, either by law or in practice. So this is a huge global shift over the last generation. There are some remaining states that continue to cling to the death penalty, continue to kill their own citizens and the citizens of others who've committed crimes within their borders. Indonesia is one of that diminishing club, and I suppose our message to it today is not only to show some clemency towards these individuals, but to get rid of the death penalty altogether. It has no place in a modern civilised world.
The way they do it in Indonesia, it's pretty callous. They remove the people who are about to be executed to an island that's known as the Execution Island. They must give them 72 hours notice that they're going to execute them. I think 64 hours have now gone by. They're entitled to a last request. One of them wanted to and did draw a painting of his own execution before he was executed. And the other guy wanted to go to church with his family. The time is ticking away. I think 64 hours have now gone round. It'll be at midnight tonight, Bali time, which is 5 o'clock, I believe, today. So on the stroke of 5 o'clock today here, they will be shot.
That appears to be the case, unless there's some last-minute change of heart by the Indonesian president, to whom we continue to make appeals internationally. But yes, I mean, it is as you describe it. As I think the individual you named who wanted to go to church with his family, he had actually asked to go with a particular spiritual advisor, Christian pastor or cleric. That was denied to him, and instead he's going to have some state-sanctioned, state-appointed Christian cleric accompany him instead. So anyway, that's like just the final indignity just before the execution, and the form of execution used in Indonesia is by firing squad. There are 12 men with guns. Three of the guns have bullets in, the other nine do not, and at a distance of about 5 or 10 meters from the individual to be executed, they line up, they aim, they take fire, they fire, and the man falls dead, or the individual falls dead. Whatever the methodology, it is wrong. I mean, I suppose it's quite easy to visualise the use of the death penalty when it's firing squad. Say other methodologies, barbaric and medicalised, and other forms are used in various countries around the world. Whatever the approach, they are all wrong, and I think they're falling out of disfavour around the world, and Indonesia needs to catch up with that world. Sadly, it appears when it finally will do, and I have no doubt that it will do, it will eventually join the rest of the world's nations in leaving the death penalty behind. Sadly, it will be too late for these individuals, and God knows how many more before that end finally comes.
Now they have that other added twist where the coffins have already been prepared and their names are on the coffins, and instruction given to an undertaker to prepare the coffins, to put their names on them, and the coffins presented on the island already, even before the people have been killed. You mentioned the spiritual advisor that one of them has. That's a reference to Christy Buckingham, a female pastor who's originally from Port Stewart, from this part of the world. She's based in Australia now, and we were in touch with her church this morning. Obviously, she's heartbroken at this present moment in time and doesn't feel up to talking as we speak here, with the countdown continuing to 5 o'clock our time today. It must be very difficult for someone like Christy Buckingham, who's liaising with one of the condemned men, to say farewell to him, knowing that he is such a reformed character.
Indeed. I mean, I think anybody, you know, it's about moving from an abstract debate about the death penalty to moving into the real world, where we're talking about real people with real lives, real families, and a life that moves perhaps from a career of crime and wrongdoing into, perhaps in these individuals' cases, a career where they see the world differently, and their role in the world would be quite different to what it was when they were younger. And I suppose that's where other forms of punishment for crimes, including imprisonment, offer the opportunity for change, for reform, for rehabilitation, and I suppose for, in a Christian or religious sense, for repentance. So that's, I think, for somebody like the pastor, like Christie, that would be seen up close and personally, and actually knowing these individuals will make it all the more painful for her, I'm sure, and for their close family and friends when that final moment comes of execution, and they're left to bury their loved ones.
Just one final question, Patrick, in relation to Bali. Should it put us off going there on holiday, going on our glamorous honeymoon?
Well, I mean, I think it certainly leaves a stain on the idea of this island paradise, and I've no doubt that it is beautiful, and I'm sure the people are great as well. However, the authoritarian government in place in Indonesia is a different matter, and I think what it should inspire us to do, if we want to stand up for fellow humanity and principles that we hold dear, we should remonstrate with the Indonesian government, and we should send our appeals to the Indonesian government, not just in the case of these individuals, time is ticking away for them now, but on the wider issue of the use of the death penalty and how they approach crime and punishment. And if the people want to take action, of course, as ever, they can go to the amnesty.org.uk website and take action and send messages to the Indonesian president.
Okay, Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International. Patrick, thank you very much indeed. Now,